word tonight. We ask that the Holy Spirit would be the revelator, the teacher to the body of Christ. Jesus, we act in faith on your word. You said that you would not leave us comfortless, but you would send the Holy Spirit and that he would be our teacher and bring us into revelation of all things. We want to know what the Spirit of God has to say from the word of God tonight. We don't seek to hear from men, but to hear from you. Father, we thank you that grace would be grace impartations would go out tonight, that people would be able to hear and receive. We pray that you anoint our ears and our hearts as we open them to receive the word of God. We're believing for fresh manna from heaven in this meetings. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement? Amen. Say amen. If you would, open your Bibles up to 3 John. That's not the Gospel of John, but in the Epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, back there closer to Jude and Revelations. Open your Bibles up to 3 John, and we're going to take a look in there. We don't get over there that often. In this series, we're going to be discussing tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night on being in health. Being in health. God's will is that we be healed. I come from denomination and I was taught that God heals who he wants to heal when he wants to heal them. But then I began to get in the word of God and I saw God's will is that all be healed. But why aren't all healed? That raises natural questions. We'll deal with and answer those questions in this series, not from the opinions of man, but from the word of God. It's God's will, and he revealed it again and again through our scriptures that he wants all of his creation to be healed. First question is, why wouldn't he want us healed? Why would you want us sick if he's got the ability to heal us? Oh, it's not God to why we're sick. It's our responsibility. It's things that we're doing. It's things that we're ignorant. We studied in Corinthians and the word of God said what about that? It says that if we're ignorant, we say it again and again, every service almost. If we're ignorant, Satan will get an advantage over us. And as denominations, as teachings, as all of us in the body of Christ, we've been ignorant just like now we're ignorant of things. We just didn't know any better. But the Bible says where light comes in, then we can see. And when we see, we don't walk as though we were in the dark places before, for now we're walking in the light and we have the benefit of being children of the light. Satan is trying to keep everybody in darkness, but the word of God will reveal the scales off our eyes. That's why Jesus prayed and Paul prayed in Ephesians. He prayed anointed by Jesus and he said, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we might know the truth. Open our eyes. We're not open our eyes by men's or the words of men or the words of men. We're opened by the word of God. As it's spoken, written, the word of God. Let's take a look here and see what it says in the scriptures here. God was speaking through by the Holy Spirit through John here. And he says, beloved, I wish above what? What's that word?
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
I wish above all things that thou mayest what?
Prosper.
Now that right there ought to tell you right there, God don't want you poor and God doesn't want you broke and all this kind of stuff. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper. Now either you wish we prosper or you wish we don't. Let's go on. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and what? Be in health. The title of the series this week. God's will is that we be in health. One place in scripture doesn't prove anything. That's where people get misinterpretations, misunderstandings. It's called taking it out of context. When you see something in one place and you say that's what it is. God said, let every word be established in the midst of two or three witnesses or even more. So you can't read one thing. I've shown you several times before of a scripture that I can show you in the Bible that I can show it to you, show you the Bible says it, but it's wrong. Because you got to keep it in context. We go to a favor and we show where it says in Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, Mark 11, 23 says about if you believe in your heart, whosoever shall say in his mouth and be thou lift up and cast in the sea and shall believe in his heart and shall not doubt that what he says comes to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. And then it goes on in Mark 11, 24 and it says that when you pray, believe that you receive and whatsoever you ask for, you shall have. Now, let me ask you a question. Although that's in there, Mark 11, 24 says, when you pray, if you believe that you receive, then you shall have whatsoever you ask for. If I ask you, is that statement true that when I pray, if I believe that I receive, that whatever I ask for, I will have verbatim. That's what it says. Is that true? The answer is no, it's not true. It's in the Bible. It's not true. No, the Bible is the compilation of the all 66 Bibles being in context. You can't grab statements. I know it says that. And I've noticed all the denominational differences and all the divisions that's in the body of Christ. And they come from little things like that. People grabbing a scripture and running off with it. The Bible doesn't say what a scripture says no more. And you can pick up a 400-page book and read one line and say, I know what that book says about that. They may have stipulated it. They may have said something else. It is not true. Let's flip there real quick. Real quick. Mark 11, 24. I want you to look at it. Sometimes we quote it. We're around here a lot. We go through it. But let's take a look. Mark 11, If you don't have a Bible, your neighbor would be happy to share with you. If not, neighbors, find a Bible you can share with somebody. It's important you don't listen to man, but you look at the word of God and then don't believe it then. Go home and meditate it. Go home and look and see. The only revelation comes from meditation. Now, I know some people think revelation comes from perspiration and inspiration, but no matter how much you sweat, how much you hoop and holler, that ain't giving no revelation to anybody. Revelation comes from the word of God. The word of God. Let's look here. Mark 11, real quickly, Mark 11, I want to show you this. It's important because to lay a foundation, sometimes when you minister along these lines, it's not commonly understood with everyone. So you got to make sure you lay a good foundation. Mark 11, 23. Are you there? Let's look at Mark 11, 24, and it says here, verbatim, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatever you desire, what things soever, without limitation, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and what? Now, you guys been around here long enough, is that true? No. It's not true by itself. That statement standing alone without anything else stipulating is not true. If I want to know about the prayer petition, if I want to know what do I pray, how do I pray to ask God for things, how do I petition God for things, I cannot say what things soever that I desire when I pray, if I believe that I receive them, I will have them, period. Because the question I have to ask is that the sum total of what the Bible teaches about the prayer petition, a prayer in which you're going to ask God for something. Does God have anything else to say? Let every word that God say it be established in two or more witnesses. Is there some other places in scripture where they talk about the prayer petition? Oh, of course there is. You remember that one scripture says, if your words abide in me and you abide in them, then you can ask what you will. Over here, don't say nothing about the word abiding. It just says whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. All you got to do according to this verse is believe that you receive it. Whatever it is, you'll have it. Doesn't matter about God's will, nobody's will. Just if you desire to have it, I desire to have Sister Sally over there marry me. Don't you think Sister Sally might have something to say about that? Yeah, but I'm standing on the word. The word says whatsoever I desire, and I shall desire her. Whatever I desire, if I believe that I receive. The Bible says that we think. The Bible didn't say that. Mark said that in one verse of all the teachings Mark did in one book out of the whole Bible. That's called being out of context, and you can't make doctrine out of stuff taken out of context. You have got to, if you want to know what the Bible says about prayer petition, you can't stop at what Mark said about it, but you can glean something from that, okay? When I pray, I must believe that I receive. So I can't pray and think it's coming. I have to pray and believe that I receive when I pray. So I do know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet sensed. If I'm in faith, I must believe I have it now, although I not yet sensed it. Because Hebrews 11, we know about that. Now faith is the substance, the tangibility, the reality of the thing that's hoped for until that thing we hope for has manifested. Our faith is the substance, the tangibility, the title deed that we have the inheritance before they actually give you the money. So you can rejoice now if you're in faith. So we know we have to believe that we receive it when we pray. Folks pray all the time. I talk to pray and walk away. Well, brother, what you pray? Oh, God, so forth. Did you get your healing? I sure hope so. Was he in faith?
No.
No. Faith believes that you receive it before you see it. If you ain't gonna believe it till you see it, you don't need faith then. You don't need faith then. You don't need any faith. Remember, faith, the example I always use, nobody get it wrong this time. But if I asked Latasha, and I asked Latasha, I said, do you believe that today is December 5th and it's a little after 6:30 and that you are sitting in Joy Faith Christian Center in West Palm Beach, Florida? Do you believe that? She says, no, she doesn't believe that. It's because she was in class and she learns. Most people sit there and say, yeah, I believe that. Let me tell you something about belief and faith. You ain't got to believe nothing you see. You don't believe anything you know. If I gave you $100 and I asked, do you believe I gave you $100? She says, no, I know you gave me $100. I have empirical evidence. I have factual evidence. I can feel it. I can smell the money. I know you gave me $100. You don't need to believe what you know. You only need to believe before what you know manifests, before it comes into a knowing, till it comes to a natural fact. So if I'm believing for something and I want to be in faith, according to Mark in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says I must believe that I receive when I pray. That's what we glean from that. But I can't, if I want to know what the Bible says about prayer petition and I don't want to take it out of context, I can't overlook the rest of that that says if my words abide in you, because if his words abide in you, you won't ask something that's not his will. And that'll keep you from asking crazy stuff like for somebody who's already married to leave that person be your husband. Amen. Or asking for some girl who thinks you're ugly to be your wife. And you know folk do it. They claim other people. I claim that sister. The Lord told me, well, if the Lord told you, that's one thing, but we don't know nothing about that, but you better make sure the Lord told you. I claim her to be my, that's not faith. You can't take that scripture. The Bible said, what things soever I desire when I pray, you really desire and you pray, but you can't stand on that scripture because that's taking it out of context. It's not dealing with prayer petition by itself, but whatever it is, that is the word abiding in you and you're asking according to the word. You remember over there in 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13 says this is the boldness. This is the assurance. This is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And because we know he hears us, we know how that we have the petitions we desire of him. Now, again, all three of those are talking about prayer petition. All three of those talk about asking God. One of them, we learned that you had to be in faith. You had to believe that you receive it beforehand. The other one, we learned that the word of God has to abide in you so you won't be asking crazy stuff. The other one said if you want to be in faith and have boldness and assurance and confidence that you have it, you got to know that what you ask is God's will. Let's turn there real quick. I think it's 1 John. What did I say? 1 John? We're right over near there. Let's just flip there. I think it's 1 John 5:13, isn't it? Let's turn there real quick so I'll show you that. Like I said, even though this is review material, I want to throw it in there. 1 John 5:13. Is that where that is? I think that's it. Yeah. Are you there? 1 John 5:14. Okay, let's look here. 1 John 5:14. Are you there? Now, notice here. Remember, this, we're establishing a fact of context because we have to understand that we could be wrong before we could be right. The beginning of knowledge is the admission of ignorance. There's many things I've held to be self-evident and true. And I found out as I studied the word of God, I was wrong. Now, I was sincere about it. That just made me sincerely wrong. But I was still wrong. The word of God, let God be true and every man be a liar. I had to drop some of the beliefs I had held from childhood just so I could follow the word and walk in the light. But it was taken from verses. It was taken out of context. It was taken from uneducated people who didn't know no better. They did the best they could. I'm not putting them down. They did the best they could. Thank God we were still getting saved. We still would have gone to heaven. We'd have been ignorant when we went, had less blessings to take, would have been sick when we went, but we'd have still gone to heaven. Okay? Verse 14, the word of God, talking about the prayer petition. This time Mark's not talking. This time Peter's not talking. This time John is talking. But all of it is the Bible talking about prayer petition. This is the confidence, which means literally boldness. In the Greek, it means boldness. This is the boldness that we have in God, in him. That if we ask anything, there's anything again, but what's the stipulation on anything? Yeah, but I thought Mark told me, I forget John's gospel, I'm going over to Mark. Mark said all I got to do is desire it. So Mark heard from God, John ain't hear from God. I like Mark's better. What things shall I desire? I even like the Old Testament. You know, Lord, you give me desires of my heart. And people use that as a blanket prayer for everything. Lord said he give me desires of my heart. I want a Cadillac. When I go, I'm out here tonight, somebody's going to give me a Cadillac. I have faith. I'm believing somebody's going to give me a Cadillac. You still going to walk out there to a Pinto. Because you don't have the word of God on that. Folks just be grabbing stuff out of the sky, believing it, standing on some half scripture, talk about the Bible says. If you want to know the Bible teach about petition, you got it. Yes, God will give you desires. But what's the stipulation? You got to believe you receive them when you pray. What's the stipulation? You got to have the word of God abiding in you before you ask. What's the other stipulation? You can only be confident that you're going to have it. You can only have faith you're going to have it if what you ask is in accordance to his will. Then you can know he hears you. And if he hears you, then you know you have whatsoever petition you ask of him. That is what the Bible teaches about prayer petition. And how many folks break that and are taught to break that by their ministers? Oh, sister, just believe. I told you, everybody coming here to pray, need prayer. I don't pray with them. I turn the radio and they got the prayer channel and people call in with crazy stuff and people just praying. They're just trying to get an offering. You don't even know what they're talking about. I've listened to them and they didn't say enough for you to hook up with prayer. I'm believing God to get $1,000 to, because, you know, there's a job they're hiring and they're paying more money. You get $1,000 moving bonus and I'm believing God for a job. And the minister, crazy minister, get on there and pray with him. Oh, Father, I thank you for Sister Joan. She's believing for $1,000. God just, how does he, what word of God does he have to stand on that God even wants her to take that job? Faith begins where what? Faith begins where the will of the word of God is known. If you don't will the word of God, if you don't have God, it could be a logos, a written word, or it could be a rhema, a spoken word. That's why if God spoke to me and said, hey, Robert, I want you to go down to West Palm Beach and start a church, I can't go get nobody believing with me about it because they hadn't heard it. They hadn't heard it. Oh, Pastor Hagin, God's leading me to Rhema. I'm leading me down to West Palm Beach. When I leave Rhema, I want you to believe with me that I go to West Palm Beach and get it done. He'll look at you and say, like, Brother Hagin, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. What does he have to believe that? You know how many people pray and don't get answered prayer? My prayers get answered, but I don't pray for everything. I pray when I know what the will of God is. When you're talking about the prayer of petition. There are other types of prayer where you don't know the will of God. Prayer of dedication and consecration. Almost taught on prayer, you can tell. There's other types of prayer on consecration and dedication. Where you're saying, Lord, I go to Africa if you want me to go to Africa. I go to Australia. I'll go where you want me to go if it be thy will. Well, that's a prayer of consecration, dedication, because I don't know his will. But if you want me to go, I'm dedicating myself and consecrating myself if it be thy will. But when stuff is revealed by his will, by whether we're healed or not, you can't be praying. Oh, we're praying, you know, and you don't know what's going on. You can't be in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6 said. It's impossible, not possible. I looked it up in the Greek, the Hebrew, the Septuagint. It says not possible without faith. And then it explains what faith is. Faith begins where the will of the word of God is known. You have to have the word of God. So therefore, many things that I learned, I was wrong. I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. And I learned some things about healing that the word of God had clarified that I was wrong. I didn't mean to be wrong. The people who taught them to didn't mean to be wrong. They did the best they knew to do. They just didn't know the best that was available. So this week, we want to be open to receive from the Spirit of God whatever the Spirit of God says. You don't even have to receive from me. You just go home, meditate, and study, and see what the Spirit would say to you. Put it in neutral. Forget about what you think you know and just look at the word and go home and meditate it. I believe that's the best way to receive from God is to be open. Is to be open. Let's look here. Now, 3 John 3:2. And again, it said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That right there messes up a lot of people's doctrine because they already saying you got to be poor and don't want none of this world's goods and lying, trying to get the best job they can find, hollering, I don't want none of this world's goods, buying all they can find. I don't want none of this world's goods. Quit lying. All of us want some of this world's good. We just don't love this world more than we love God. I don't want to live in the street. I'd rather have a nice house. I'm not going to serve the house. It's not going to be an idol to me. But if there's nice houses out there, I think God's folks ought to have them. Ain't we just living in the street? You're not blessing God to live out in the street. So let's quit lying. We all want to be blessed and God wants you blessed. You remember Deuteronomy? Who remembers the verse? Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember this. I like that. Remember this. God said, now don't forget it. Remember this. It is the Lord thy God who has given thee the ability to get wealth for the purpose of proving his covenant in the earth. And what's his covenant? If you follow me and keep my commandments, I shall make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed coming in and blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse and blessed in the field. I don't want none of this world's goods. I'm just humble. You're just stupid. That's not humility. Humility has nothing to do with poverty. I know some poor folks is full of pride. And now some rich folks is humble. How much money you have has nothing to do with your humility, but we've been taught that. Some of our churches have taught us that. But that's just as wrong as two left shoes on the same foot. That's wrong. The Bible doesn't support that. But if anything is said enough, it works in the negative and the positive. Faith cometh by hearing. If you say something generation after generation after generation, people believe it. And until you stop and look at what the word really says, you'll never know the truth. Let's go here. God, through John, says, I wish above all things that Christians prosper and that they be in health. But it will be according to or even as thy soul prospers. What is your soul again? Your soul is your mind. It's your will and your emotions. I am a man. The being on this earth that you see as man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. If I look at another man, Jervy. Jervy's a man. Jervy and I are both men. We're both alive unto God. We're both filled with the spirit. But why are Jervy and I different? Jervy might play football better than me because Jervy knows something in his mind that I don't know in my mind. I don't know how to throw a tackle like he might know how to tackle. I might know how to preach something Jervy don't know how to preach. We're the same in our spirit. We're made in likeness and image of God. Our bodies are both corporal bodies that are just the houses we live in while we're on this earth. But our spirits are alike because we're like God. God is a spirit, and all those worshiping will worship in spirit and truth. We are spirits. We're made in likeness, image of God. We got different bodies. God can't be black, white, yellow, green, all them colors. So it must not be after the body. God is a spirit, and we're spirits. Our spirits are alive to God. Our bodies are different. But where else do we differ at? In our soul. My mind, my will, emotion based on my experiences. Jerry's mind, will, and emotion based on his experiences make him a different individual. I've gone to several Bible schools. I might know a thing or two he doesn't know. He's had other experiences under ministers. He might know different things I don't know. But we differ primarily in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. One person might want to be committed to God here. The other person committed there and uncommitted there. The other person doing this, doing that. We're different. Now, the Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, but it will be according to as your soul prospers. It will be according to how your mind understands, has heard, and has received the word of God. It will be according to as your emotions are controlled. One person definitely controls their emotions better than others. Some other people don't walk by faith. They walk by feelings. Whatever they feel, that's it. They feel upset, they upset. Other people walk by faith, say, well, you know what? God's going to take care of it anyway. So we'll be different there. But you will prosper financially, and you will be in health physically according to what you know. According to what you have in your mind, your soul, your mind, and what you will to do. Some people know how you should eat, and they don't will to do it. So you get sick. Some people don't even have in their mind how to eat, so they couldn't eat right, even if they want to, because they don't know. Their will is right. I'm willing to do whatever God wants, but I'm ignorant of what he wants. I'm willing to eat however he wants me to eat, but I'm ignorant of how I should eat. Well, I know what to do, but I don't will to do it. I feel better eating junk. Junk food makes me feel good. You see? You will prosper financially. I might know I should save money, but I might not like saving it. I want my emotions to feel the joy of going out buying something. So although I should save it to buy something more important, I'm going to go buy some trinket or bauble right now because it'll make me feel good. You will prosper and you will be in health according to as your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. According to as the knowledge that you have, that you've learned, and according to being able to control your emotions, they're going to lead you negative. You remember, for we walk by faith, not by sight. One of the definitions of that word sight is by feelings. We walk by faith, not by feelings. Thank God Jesus walked by faith, not by feelings, because he didn't feel like going to the cross. Father, not my will be done. See, that's the but thy will be done. See, the voice of the body, the voice of his flesh said, Father, is there any other way that this cup might pass away from me? That's the voice of his flesh. But the spirit said, not my will, but thy will. And the spirit said, the will of God be done. The flesh said, is there another way? The spirit said, the will of God be done. Thank God he walked by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. Now we have to be like him and learn the same. Let's go on here. Doesn't matter what it feel like, doesn't matter what it tastes like, doesn't matter whatever. Don't put anything in your mouth that's not food. And we put all kind of junk in our mouth that's not food. We create words for stuff that's not food. Words like dessert. Somebody said tastes good, though. Tastes good till you land in the casket with it. Then it don't taste so good. Because, see, dessert may taste good, but that's only because you've been trained it tastes good. When we were in Africa, if you go give some of these kids a piece of candy, they spit it out. Because it tastes nasty to them. Because they're not used to having that sugary taste. We start real young. I know mothers talk about getting the baby to drink water, put sugar in the water. Has anybody ever heard of that or just me? Raise your hand if you heard of that. See, you put a little sugar in the water to help the baby drink it. Getting them addicted from Jump Street 1 to white sugar sucrose. One carbon molecule different in chemical nomenclature from cocaine. One carbon molecule different from cocaine. And we get them when they're young and train them up in a way they shouldn't go. So if we're addicted to it and we say, yeah, but it tastes good. Heroin tastes good to a heroin addict. Crack tastes good to a crack addict. It's only because it's what they got addicted to. And sugar is very addictive. But the question is, was it something you should have in a sucrose form? No. Did Adam and Eve have it? Was it available to them? No, they didn't eat the cane. They had sugar through fructose, which is different from sucrose. The cane didn't bear seed, so they didn't eat it. Cane is a ribosome. It runs from root to root and it spreads. God says in Genesis 1:9, is when he was explaining and give commandment to man on the earth, he said, of every herb of the ground that bears seed, and of every tree whose fruit bears seed, it shall be meat unto you. That's what he said. Adam and Eve ate that. until the fall. That's what they ate. And somebody said meat didn't even come into existence when man ate it until the flood, when they had to spend, I think it was over a year. Now, we think it was just 40 days or whatever. No, it was raining 40 days. It took, they kept sending that dove out and tells us it was over a year before they found dry land, because there was so much water over the earth and they had to take time to subside. So they were on there with meat. I'm sure they had a few vegetables, but they didn't have the kind of storage to keep the vegetables fresh. And I'm sure they weren't growing sprout gardens on the ark. And some people say, I'm not being dogmatic about it, but some people say that was when man first started eating meat. And if you study the ages of people, look at how the ages begin to drop right after the flood. The ages, people living to 1,000 years, almost 1,000 years old, then going down to 800, 900, 500. But after the flood, they dropped drastically. At that time, man began to eat meat, because even on the earth, when the water began to reside, there wasn't a lot of vegetation. So they still would eat some of the animals. God says, of every unclean animal, take a pair. Of every clean animal, take 7. Maybe they had to eat a little something. And even then, they ate that raw, because it's not a good idea to start cooking on a wooden boat. Not a good idea. Let's go on. But God wishes above all things. Now, Pastor Cook, you might be taking that out of context. You done found one scripture and you riding that scripture in the ground. Well, let's just go look at some more scriptures and see if God's will. Now, from this scripture, I just wanted to get one thing from you. We do agree that it says God's wishes above all things that you prosper, you've been in health, and it's going to come according as your soul, your mind, your will. As you educate your mind, as you adjust your emotions, and you will to do what's right. If you want to be in health. But God has already said, I wish that you be in health. I wish above all things. It's so important to me. I wish above all things that you be in health. Well, let's go look at some more scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 103. Let's go all the way back to the Old Testament. And you notice whenever sickness or something like that came, it was always coming in the time when Israel was disobedient. Whenever they obeyed, healing was throughout the land. And God said, if you keep my commandments and you do and follow according to my statutes, I will not put any of the plagues or diseases on Egypt upon you, but you will be healed. God's will was they be healed. Jesus walked around preaching, laying hands on people, healing people everywhere he went. But he didn't heal everybody. You remember we studied that in healing school. He didn't heal everybody. He went down to the porch of Bethesda where they had all those sick people waiting for an angel to come down and trouble the water. And all those sick folks waiting for the water to be troubled, Jesus went to one man and said, what do you will I do for you? That man said, well, I like to be healed, but you know, when the angels come trouble the water, you know, I got like a bad foot and I got backache and I got all this. So I don't get down there. People beat me there. He said, look, I asked you, what you want me to do for you? Do you believe that I want you healed, get healed? Well, do whatever you can do. Yeah, I want to be healed. And Jesus said to proceed, the man have faith. He prayed for him, got healed. But the Bible says he walked off. All those other sick folk, he walked off. Paul in the New Testament and Peter were walking and they said he came to this one person perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He perceived that that person had faith to be healed. So he went and ministered to that person. That person got healed. Other folks, he didn't perceive they had faith to be healed. You know, some folks got faith to believe for healing and some folks don't have faith, because faith cometh by hearing. And some folks been hearing stuff that don't give them no faith to believe for healing. And until they start hearing the word of God, you can't have faith. Some people have heard God heals who he wants to heal. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. You don't see that principle anywhere in the Bible. God doesn't even heal who he wants to heal. God heals whosoever will believe. He told so many people, unto thy faith be it unto you. According to your faith, so shall it be unto you. He didn't go around saying, I'm just making folks get healed. He said, according to your faith. According to your faith, it will be unto you. According to your faith, it will be unto you. The woman with the issue of blood, according to your faith, it was unto you. Blind Bartimaeus, according to your faith, it be unto you. According to your faith. According to your faith. We have churches to teach your faith is not an element, it's the will of God only. So therefore, when people don't get healed, we say, I guess it wasn't God's will. You don't see anywhere in the ministry where anybody in the Bible said, I guess it wasn't God's will. You don't see that anywhere. But you hear it a lot in churches, but you don't see it anywhere in scripture. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Psalms 103. You still with me or you going home? All right. Tell me when you had enough. We'll stop. Psalms 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And there's that word again. Remember, forget not. Same thing. Forget not all his what? Now, the Bible says the covenant that they had in the Old Testament, our covenant is established upon better promises. Now, if they had healing in the Old Testament, this one ain't better if I don't have some healing in the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? This one ain't better. Psalms 103. Let me see. I just dropped my page. Let me get back there. I could quote it, but let me turn to it so I can read it verbatim with you. Psalms 103 again. And let's stay with the scripture here. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. Remember his benefits. Forget not his benefits. There's benefits to serving God. What are two of the benefits here? He forgives all thy sins and iniquities and weaknesses. And what's another one? Maybe just some of the people. Now, God's benefit is to heal all the diseases of everybody who will come in line and keep his commandments and follow his word. If you follow my statutes and attend unto my words, I should take all the diseases away from you that were upon Egypt. And you'll walk healed all the days of your life. Helen's been teaching a tremendous series on divine walking in divine health. Divine health is far better than just healing. You got to get sick to get healed. You walk in divine health, you don't even have to get sick. She's taught about how to stay in divine health. And there's a natural component to walking in divine health. God says, you remember in Galatians, I think it's Galatians 6, it says, for the Lord is not to be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he. God mocked is to be made a fool of or mockery of. God says, I am not to be made a fool. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. If you sow into destruction of your body by eating the wrong kind of foods, you will reap sickness. It had nothing to do with the will of God. It's got to do with your soul and your will. You will to do it. It will be unto you according to your faith. And we're presumptuous sometimes and you think we can eat whatever we want to and bless it. Eat whatever we want to and just bless it. God, I pray that you bless this McDonald's in Jesus' name and cleanse it, be nourishing for my body. As long as you're praying, you might as well cast the calories out so you don't get fat either. Lord, and cast the calories out. You know you're still going to get fat and you're still going to get sick. It would be nice if you didn't have to, but Bible says put your flesh under. Paul said, I buffet my flesh and I keep it under. At least I'll be a castaway myself. I keep it under. You have your part to play. By the time we get to Wednesday, we're going to find a whole lot of our part to play. But we'll know how to get our healing and how to walk in divine health. We will know. And that's the important part. We will know. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all thine iniquities, your weaknesses and your sins. He healeth all thy diseases. Yeah, but he can't heal rheumatoid arthritis. Well, he can't heal a backache. He can't heal scoliosis. He healeth all thy diseases. Now, you got to decide, and I always tell you that when you come to church, whether you believe the Bible or not. If you believe parts of the Bible, you might as well throw it out because the part where they say Jesus is coming back might be a part that ain't true. If you believe the white man tamper with it and mess with it, so now you can't believe all of it, then you might as well throw it out because you don't know what part is true. I don't understand people want to believe some of the Bible. I don't even understand that. What part do you believe? What part don't you believe? Oh, I believe the parts I like. Well, somebody else like a different part. Who's true? Don't. You just start denomination and start fighting over who's right. Believe it all in context. Let's go on here. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems his life from destruction. Now, God says right here, he will heal all thy diseases. Is it his will to heal thy diseases? He says that it's a blessing of God that he takes away our iniquities and he takes away all our diseases. So if he's taking them away, seem like to me, somebody that doesn't want to heal, just want to heal some of the people. Why would he do that? Why? I mean, is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not a respecter. It says, for the Lord thy God is not a respecter of persons. And he tells us don't be a respecter of persons. So if he's not a respecter of persons, then how is he going to heal one and not heal the other? It has something to do with the one receiving the healing. It had to do with the position of the person with their ability to receive, the faith that they had, the willingness to eat right, the willingness to do right or to do whatever they want to do or to do however they were raised to do it or however they were taught by their mama to do it. Now, it's got to do with God is not a respecter of persons. If he will heal one, he will heal all. Is he a respecter of persons on salvation? Suppose salvation, we just went by that theory of, well, you know, they went up there. They went up there and confessed. Do you think they got healed? Well, if God wills. You think they got saved? Well, if God wills, maybe they got saved. No, everybody comes up to make confession. We believe that they confess the word of God. And if they believe in their heart that God raised from dead, we don't say, well, he wants some saved, doesn't want all saved. But some people actually teach that too. And the Bible says several times in scripture, it is my will that all men be saved. It is my will. Jesus came to die for all men, not some men. But some die unsaved, some die saved. What's the difference? The sum. What they will to do, did they will to confess Jesus the Lord? Did they will to follow the word? If they do what it is, God's not going to hold it against them. He's going to treat them like everybody else. If they will to do it, and they did it. God is not a respecter of persons. If they will to do it, it's so. If they don't will to do it, it won't be. But we get different when it comes to healing. If it doesn't happen, we just say, well, it's not God's will. How about they go up there, confess, and then because they're immature, they still sin sometimes. We just say, well, they ain't saved. God didn't will to save them. Why don't we do that? Same rationale. Same faulty rationale. That because they're not doing their part, must be God didn't want it to happen. When you get saved, God didn't make you do right. How many people found that out? I got saved, but God does not make me do right. I can sin whenever I want to. Whenever I choose to. Why? Because I'm a free moral agent. God, when I got saved, that Greek word salvation is the Greek word behind salvation, where in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, whoso shall confess with their mouth, Lord God Jesus Christ, believe in their heart, God raised from the dead, should be saved. That word for salvation is sozo, and it means to be made whole in spirit, in soul, and in body. Healing is entitled to us as children of God, but it's going to be unto us according to our faith. If we've been taught it's not ours, how can you ever have faith for it? I know some people that do believe in healing. They'll say, well, you know, we're going to have a ministry line. You come down here and sometimes people don't get healed. You know, it's working invisible on the inside. It's a supernatural thing. You got healed, a spiritual healing, but it'll manifest in the natural some later date at some other time. First of all, where's the precedence for that in scripture? Where did Jesus, Peter, Paul, or any of them have somebody say, now, it may not manifest now, it'll manifest sometime in the future. Oh, pastor, but there are examples in the Bible where people didn't get healed immediately. No, there's no examples in the Bible where people didn't get healed immediately when they did what God said. Now, there's times when God put stipulations on it. Jesus told one person, he did the thing, and he said, now go wash in the pool. And they had to go down. Biblical history tells us that there was another body of water closer than that body of water he told them to go to. But they had to go to why can't you just heal me? Why I got to go down? It was a stipulation. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam or whatever. Go wash. And the man had to go down to that pool. He had to pass another pool of water. He had to go down there and wash. He went down there and washed. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he was healed. Regained his sight immediately. You had the case of the 10 lepers where you got the 10 lepers and lo, they beholding Jesus afar off. They shouted out with an uplifted voice, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, thou son of David. And with a loud voice, Jesus said, well, you know, he looked around and he said, go thy way and show thyself to the priests. They were 10 lepers. In that Jewish law, if you were a leper, you got declared a leper in with the midst of the people. Everywhere you went, you had to shout out in loud voice, unclean, unclean, so that you wouldn't be contagious to anyone. You had to stay away from folks. You could be stoned to death coming in the midst of people. So they were far off. And Jesus granted their desire to be healed. And he just said, go show yourself to the priest. He ain't say nothing about be healed or nothing. He said, go show yourself to a priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Now, did they go the next day, 3 days later, 3 minutes later? It said, as they went, they were healed and they turned back and with a loud voice, he gave glory unto God. And Jesus said, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? This ain't 2 days later. This isn't next week. They got healed immediately. And as they went to the priest, they noticed, thank you, Jesus. And they gave glory. It's immediate healing. Another story people come up with to say healing wasn't always immediate is they come up with, the man came and he said, look, Jesus, you know, my son is near death. He's got fever to the point of death. And he said, you got to come. You got to come or you're going to die. Jesus said, well, look, you know, I really ain't got time to come. But your son liveth. And the man wanted Jesus to come, but Jesus said, I ain't coming. That son liveth. And the man was on his way back, and the next day, his servants came and met him rejoicing, and they met that man. They said, oh, master, 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 that son liveth. And the man inquired of his servants and said, now, what was the Bible says hour. What was the hour? But if you read it, it's the same word translated instant or moment of time. What was the very moment, the instant of time in which my son got better? Beginning to mend, it says in the King James. It said, well, you know, it was the sixth hour. Whatever it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the man and the whole household got saved because they knew that was the same exact moment that Jesus said, thy son lived. The man began to mend. Now remember, you can't begin to mend, which is a process of being sick, headed towards death. You can't turn around to what's causing you to go down towards death is reversed. And at that point, you heal. Some of the nurses and doctors here might know that if you got fever to the point of death, you're dehydrated, so you got to recuperate. But that's no more than saying, I'm sick because I was up all day and I'm tired, so I'm sick. I got to go with men. I got to go to bed, wake up in the morning with men, so I'm sick until morning. It's not sick. If you were sick, you'd still be going down. You're healed. That's why you can come back. That's why you can come out of it. You can regenerate because you're healed now. There's no examples in the Bible where people weren't healed immediately. There's no such thing as a spiritual healing invisible. Now, people may have soulish healings for other psychological problems, emotional problems, but when it comes to physical body, hey, if I'm sick and I'm coming to you to lay your hands on me, I'm coming for a physical healing. I ain't coming for no invisible healings. I hurt physically, I'm coming for physical healing. When people came to Jesus, they got physical healing. Now, because you don't want to deal with people, we make up all these stories. But see, how can, back to the point, how can you come in faith if I tell you when you come? Now, don't worry if you don't get it right now. Some people don't. It manifests later, but it's working on the inside of you. The power of God is going. What's the devil going to tell you? Well, I ain't going to get mine today. I'm going to be one of those that's working on the inside, and I'll get it sometime later. And then the next day when you're still sick, I'm going to get it sometime later. The next day when you're still sick, I'm going to get it sometime later. Because nobody gave you faith to believe to receive now. Nobody gave you faith to believe to receive now. Your faith is that, well, I may not get it. And I used to always wonder, it just seemed wrong in my spirit when ministers would say that, so that when people come up, they can't even be in faith to get healed today, other than some invisible healing. They can't even be in faith that God's going to heal me now. My God, I've done what he told me to do as best of my ability. He doesn't want me sick one moment long and beyond this. I'm going to be healed right now. So therefore, people come up out of faith. So you lay hands on oodles of people and nobody really gets healed, or except a few folk. Because you already took faith from them by telling them, well, it'd be an invisible healing. How can I have faith he's going to heal me now physically if you just told me some people heals later? Or he heals now, but it may manifest later. Show me an example where Jesus, Peter, Paul, or any of them said that to people they ministered to. You won't find it. Some we made up. I think we made it up because people were coming up not getting healed, and we didn't want to tell them there's something stopping your healing. Sometimes it's plain old foolishness. I love fried chicken. I know it ain't good for me, but I want 3 chickens a week. Fried. I want it deep fried. I want all that. Just love it. And then you ain't going to change. Ain't no use of God being, you making a fool of God. The Bible calls that testing the Lord. If the doctor's already told you that it killed you and you keep eating and you die, guess what? You reap what you sow. You may have done it ignorantly and didn't know any better, but still just the same, isn't it? Still just the same. And too many saints are going out early because of that kind of ignorance. And we didn't know any better. We got to go back to the word of God, because we can't question God's will. God's will is to all be healed. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Let's look at what the word says. Isaiah 53. Give you a moment to get there. Isaiah 53. We're looking at the Old Testament, healing in the Old Testament. Then we're going to come to the New Testament. Then we'll come to after Jesus died and what his will was after that. Are you there? Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely, now if you read the context yourself and you see they're talking about Jesus. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten of God, stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But instead, he was actually wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm going to get my chair and sit down if y'all don't mind. I'm tired of walking around. It says right here. Now, what I want you to look at is when we look at this in the Greek and the Hebrew, which is important. This is the Hebrew, the Old Testament. Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Chaldean. The New Testament was written in Greek and a little bit of what's the other language? I forget what it is right now, but there's 4 different languages. What is it? Arabic. Yeah, Aramaic. There's a little bit of Aramaic and a little bit of Greek. Now, let's look here. It says, surely Jesus, if you read the context, you know they're talking about Jesus. This was over 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Over 1,000 years before he came to earth, God was speaking prophetically. If you look a little bit before that, you'll see that they're talking about Jesus. And it says, surely Jesus has borne. Now, it's important to understand the language, so let me give you the words. Let's go back to verse 3. He, speaking of Jesus, is despised and rejected. He is a man of sorrow. Now, that word sorrow is pain. He is a man of pain and acquainted with grief. The word grief is the Hebrew word koli. That word koli means sickness. Now, if you think back to Medea and Mama and other Mama and all them days, you might recall some of them saying, oh, baby so-and-so been grief-stricken for years. And they were talking about physical sickness. They weren't talking about the psycho-emotional term that we use today, which talks about grief. They weren't talking about psychology. They said been grief-stricken for years. They're talking about sick, crippled, lame, something wrong with them physically in their body. See, that's just a couple of generations back. Now, back in 1611, when this, the fourth version of the King James was written, the one we call the King James is actually the fourth version written in 1611, grief-stricken, when they said grief, everybody understood that to be sickness. And some modern translations, they actually translated sickness, because over time, words change. Jesus is a man despised and rejected of men. He was a man of pain and acquainted with sickness, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now, we know when Jesus lived, there was no sickness that we know of. But the Bible says when the sins of
the sins of us were put upon Jesus and sickness came upon his body. And he felt within himself the pains, the sickness and everything else. He became acquainted. And this is speaking in the present tense of something that's not going to happen for over 1,000 years. That's why Isaiah was a prophet. He spoke of what was coming, not what had happened or was happening now. But you read the context. They're clearly talking about Jesus because they said, please the Father to bruise him. Verse 4, surely Jesus hath borne our sicknesses. Jesus bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him as stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But this is what the truth is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement, which is old English word for the price or the cost, the price of our peace was upon Jesus. Jesus paid a price in his body so we can have peace in our bodies because we deserve sickness. We deserve it. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is death. And we deserve to die. We deserve to die sick. We deserve to die painful. We deserve to die horribly. And some folk do. But thank God, if we get in faith and we go to the word of God, we can see that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed from poverty, from sickness, and from spiritual death. Jesus has completed the work, but it will be unto us according to our faith, and our faith is a product of how they to hear except they have a preacher. Just preaching right. Just preaching the Bible and the word in context. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, and the price of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, some people might say, well, you know, the price of the peace is upon Jesus. Well, Jesus paid the price so when we go to heaven, we don't have to be sick. Well, you know, there ain't no sickness in heaven to have anyway. The place where you need to be healed is the same place where you could be sick. You know, there ain't no sickness in heaven. Adam and Eve had heaven on earth. You know, there wasn't no sickness. You don't need any sick. God didn't die so you can have healing in heaven. The place where you need the healing is where the sickness is at. Everybody goes to heaven going to be healed before they get there. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will be healed. We'll be like the children of Israel who came out of sin. Egypt was a type of sin. And they said they came out and out of estimated 1 million people, there was not one feeble one amongst them. And they had old folk. They had young folk. And the Bible said not a feeble, which means sickly one was among them. Out of 1 million people, not one sick was among them because it was a type of coming out of sin. Now, when you get born again, you came out of Egypt. You came out of sin. So if we look at the word of God, we understand we can believe God's word and do his will and be healed. We can reap the benefits of what it said, that he will heal us. We can go to John 10:10, where it says that the God came, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have abundant. Being sick is not abundant life. And don't listen to that foolish mess about the Lord's teaching you a lesson. If we get chance, we're going to get into that this week. Commonly misunderstood, mistaught things by the church about healing, health and sickness. God is not teaching you any lesson sick. He's not getting no glory. Because I always tell you, I'll debunk that one right now. If God's will is that you did something wrong and now he's put you in the school of sickness and he's teaching you a lesson, why don't you stay sick and in pain and learn your lesson instead of going to the doctor getting aspirins and pills to quit the bad feeling? Why don't you learn your lesson? Why don't you just stay sick till your leg fall off? Now, if it's his will, you didn't do his will, so now he's teaching you through sickness. And maybe you ought to not be disobedient. If he's teaching you, just be sick and endure your lesson. Don't go to the doctor trying to get out the will of God. After all, you're saying it's his will that you be sick. He's teaching you a lesson. You're suffering for Jesus. There's a suffering for Jesus, but it ain't got nothing to do with that. He redeemed you from that. But the devil's duped the church to believe that's it. So therefore, we take by faith. It's cold season. The cold's going around. Flu season, the flu's going around. And you know what? Father, I'm certain it's going to keep going around, but it ain't going to stop here. It'll just keep going around. The Bible says Satan is seeking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That implies there's some whom he can devour and some whom he cannot. What is the difference between whom he can and whom he cannot? It is our faith, which is the victory which overcomes the world. Sickness is of this world. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to have any sick days. Now, I got to learn how to eat right and eat right. Because the Bible says if you do right, it will be well with you. If you do wrong, you will reap what you sow. I've buried a lot of Christians. I've buried 4 or 5 Christians here in the last 4 or 5 years, and I buried them because they ate wrong. The doctor might have told them, hey, you know, you got high blood pressure. You need to get off that salt, but they eat it anyway. Sometimes the doctors don't know all they can know either, and they could give you a lot better information, but they do the best they know to do. They do the best that they're taught. But see, the word of God already taught us how to eat. It's just the preachers aren't teaching it because the preachers aren't eating. I determined I'm not going to be a big, thick, fat neck preacher preaching to folk. God will heal you. And I dropped dead in the pulpit of a heart attack at 50 something. One of my sister's pastors died, I think 58, 59. He was young and he died. He was in Chicago preaching at a meeting, dropped dead. And everybody said, oh, it's glorious. He went out preaching. He was giving glory to God when he was preaching. No, he's dead prematurely. Do not be given glory for what Satan has been allowed to do. God's will is that you fulfill the number of your days. With long life shall he satisfy you. Show me in the Bible where he took anybody out early and it wasn't for the purpose of being a martyr. You don't find biblical precedence for it. We got all kind of religion. The Lord took him. The Lord ain't taking nobody young. He only took a few people out of here and he took Enoch and Elijah and he took them both alive. They didn't have to die to go. He took them both alive. The Lord ain't never took nobody dead. But you know, we have been taught the Lord took them. Lord took them. What's he going to do with them? He reached down in his garden and he saw a rose and plucked it out. That's ignorance gone to seed. You have got to have a preacher tell you that because you can't be that stupid by yourself. That's just ridiculous. You don't find any, not even an inkling of precedence for that in the word of God. But we believe it because our preachers have told us that generation from generation, and they didn't know. They didn't know. I'm not faulting anybody. I'm just telling you they didn't know. Not trying to push down. You tell folks wrong stuff too, but you didn't do it intentionally. You just didn't know. But thank God these things were written that we might know what is the will of God. That we might know. And let's go on and know some more. But he was wounded. Why was he wounded? He was wounded for our transgressions. Why was he bruised? He was bruised for our iniquities and our sins. What price was it? The price of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are. 1,000 years before we even got healed, by his stripes ye are healed, spoken prophetically. Now, who are they talking to? They're talking to the saints of God that will come. Now, God's saying that you are healed, and you're healed by his stripes before he even got striped. By his stripes you are healed. Turn to 1 Peter 2:24. Let's look in the New Testament. Now, see, we sometimes misunderstand and don't know what's going on, but we do believe the apostles and prophets and different folks who walk with Jesus, around Jesus, we do believe they understand it, don't we? We might misunderstand it. We might have been taught wrong. We might have some preachers help us misunderstand it. But let's go back to the preachers God counted worthy to write in the Bible. I figure if he had them writing in the Bible, they didn't misunderstand it. So let's look at what Peter said. 1 Peter 2:24. Are you there? 1 Peter 2:24. Look what it says here. Oh, if the body of Christ just knew this, we'd eradicate sickness. God has given me a mission to eradicate sickness in this church. Only people allowed to be sick are those just coming in from somewhere else. Other than that, the rest of us are going to get healed and we're going to stay healed and we're going to give glory to God by being healed. We're going to give glory to God. God gets glory when people heal. You remember that one thing when they said, why is this person born crippled like that? Well, he said, I don't know about all that, but the God might get glory. And he prayed and healed him. God gets glory out of saints being healed and getting healed. God gets glory. We glorify God in our healing. We don't glorify God in our suffering like that. There's a suffering. Don't get me wrong. There's a suffering, but it's not sickness. We may get chance to go into Paul's, the thorn in the flesh that Paul had. It was not a pussy eye. It was not a club foot, as some preachers teach. Ain't no Bible for that. That's just history. People making up stuff. All right. Mark, 1 Peter 2:24. Look what it says. Now, remember, we looked in Isaiah 53 that says, by his stripes ye are healed, spoken prophetically in the present tense. By his stripes you are healed. Now Jesus is dead, resurrected. He's up with the Father in heaven. Peter's out preaching in the church, talking to born again Christians. And Peter says, Jesus, who himself, let's go to verse 22 to pick up a little bit of it. Who did no sin, talking about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in Jesus' mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, to God, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, you know who they're talking about. Ain't no man born my sins on the tree but Jesus. Who himself bore our sins in his body. He bore our sins in his body. Something happened physically in his body when he was on that cross. Something happened when he said, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't even know what it was to be separated from the Father. For eternity past, he had never known what it was like to be separated from the Father. But sin always separates you from God. And when sin came, Jesus, for the first time in all of eternity, knew what it was to be separated. He's up on the cross, folks don't know what he's talking about. He up there bleeding and talking about, my God, why have you forsaken me? forsaken me. They had all kind of interpretations on it, but Jesus didn't realize that God would not be with him. At that instant, at that moment in eternity, all the sins and the sicknesses of mankind came upon him. Surely he bore our sicknesses and I carried our griefs and our sorrows on the tree. Surely by his stripes we are healed. And for his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes? Two things happened on the cross. By Jesus dying on the cross, we all know we're able to be saved. Does anybody argue that? Does anybody think that Jesus did not purchase the salvation of our spirits with his death on the cross? We all know that. But see, two things happened in the last 24 hours before Jesus was crucified. That night before, they beat him. The Bible says in Isaiah, they beat him, his visage, his body was so marred that he barely resembled a human being. We look at the pictures and they show him nice. I mean, he may be bloody, the Passion of Christ showed him bloody and all, but that doesn't match what it was. It says, now we talk about the Bible, we're not talking about, keep your place in 1 Peter, and let's go back to Isaiah 53 again. Keep your place, we're coming back there. Go back to Isaiah 53. Are you there? Look at verse 13. Isaiah 53, verse 13. Is everyone there? Say, aye if you have it. The ayes have it. 52:13. Are you there? Now look what it says here. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And it go on and says it pleased the Father to bruise him. Jesus was beat beyond recognition. Why would a man who was a carpenter all his life, when there were no Black and Decker twos, not be able to carry a cross, but yet another man, Joseph of Arimathea, could carry the cross? Jesus couldn't carry his cross because they beat him so bad that night. He had lost so much blood. He was so weak, he couldn't even carry his own cross. His visage, his physical appearance was marred beyond that of any man. He was barely recognizable. They beat him. They unleashed on him a hate from Satan to the Son of God. They unleashed on him like you wouldn't believe. And they beat him. They took a cat of nine tails, which is a whip that's tied with a knot on the end, on a metal ball with spikes on it, rolled in glass, and they whipped him with it. By his stripes, he purchased your healing. Now, that's too high a price to walk around sick because of lack of faith. He paid too high a price. By his stripes are you healed, and by the shedding of his blood are you your sins remitted. Two things happened on the cross. The same instance, we were healed, our healing was purchased, and so was our salvation. And our salvation means our healing. Sozo, spirit, soul, and body to be made whole. But it will be unto us according to our faith. If we don't believe it, it can't be unto us. Turn back to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 again. For his own self, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Righteousness, being able to be saved. He paid the price that we can be saved, that we can live unto righteousness, that we can be right, that we can follow the will of God, that we're no longer in bondage to sin, but we've been declared righteous by our faith. And at the same time, at that cross, by those stripes, we were, past tense, now in the New Testament, Jesus dead, buried, off the cross. Healing belongs to the body of Christ. By his stripes, ye were healed. God sees you as healed, whether you're healed as a manifested fact or not. He sees you as healed. Because he says, I've done all I'm going to do. I was studying healing one time, and the Lord gave me an illustration to help me understand it. He said, healing is like this. He said, Jesus paid the price. And God says, healing is in the package, soul parcel to salvation. And God has stretched his hand out as far as he's going to stretch it out for you to get healing. But if you're down here and you don't take your faith and reach up and lay hold of the promises, well, what's the Bible say about promises? We receive the promises of God through two things, faith and patience. Patience, because some things take time. If you believe in God to start a business, that may take time. If you believe in God for what's already been done, ye were healed, already been done. All you need to do is receive. Anybody go walk through salvation line and we say, well, it's going to come someday. No, we say you heal right then. Why? Because the price has already been paid. Why do we separate sickness so far away from salvation when they were purchased in the same 24 hours? We don't tell anybody your salvation's coming later, but we tell them your healing's coming later. And then when it doesn't come, we make up crazy doctrine about, well, maybe the Lord's teach you a lesson. Well, maybe, you know, the Lord's counted you worthy to suffer. You know, Paul had a club foot and Job had boils. We talked about how Job got boils and how it got in. Some of you in healing school came, you heard about that. Total misinterpretation of scripture that's being taught about Job and his sickness. Job admitted himself that he left the gate open. He left the gate open. And if you open the gate in your life, Satan's coming in too. God and Satan were not sitting up in heaven just saying whatever's going to happen to Job is going to happen. Job's just a pawn. Job opened the door with his mouth when he said that thing that I feared has come upon me. You cannot be in faith and at the same time. Faith and fear cannot occupy the same heart at the same time. Either you believe Jesus is coming back and you're ready, or you're afraid he's coming back. Faith and fear cannot. Well, you remember the story when Jesus was going over, Jesus spoke and he said, let us go over to the other side. There was enough faith in that statement when he told the disciples, let's go to the other side. They were in the ministry of helps. Jesus had to minister. He had to go to bed because he had to get up and preach. He preached all day on this side of the shore. Now he's going across the Sea of Galilee, got to preach on the other side. He gave him enough faith when he said, now let us go over to the other side. And Jesus went to bed. And I love it. The storm started up. The sea got uproarious. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of Jesus, you know, it just got wild. It got wild. And the Bible, I love the detail in the Bible. They said, and they went below and they woke the master who was asleep with his head on a pillow. Why did they say his head on a pillow? Jesus was set. He wasn't worried about it. He said, I said, let us go to the other side. Can't nothing happen. I don't care if there's no storm. I ain't moved by what I see. Jesus knew there was a storm. He probably knew there would be a storm. He said, let us go to the other side. Sometimes you just got to realize you got too much to do for God to die right now. Satan, I can't go right now. I got too much to do. I've not fulfilled what God told me to do. You can't take me out if you wanted to. Got too much of the plan of God to fulfill. I'm not worried about you. See, and if they feared not. Now, Jesus got up. They woke him up. He was asleep below deck with his head on a pillow. And they woke him up. Master, master, care you not that we perish? Jesus got up and he said, oh, boys, that's all right. Let me show you some power. Peace be still. Is that what he said? Jesus looked at the storm. And he said, peace be still. Then he turned to them and said, oh, ye of such little faith. How is it that you doubt? He pretty much said, what's wrong with you people? Have you not seen the miracles at work? Have you not seen the power of God? Have you not seen the favor of God? Do you not know God at all? And you worried about the wind blowing. Why don't you follow me? Get a pillow and go to bed. You're going to wake up on the other side. But folks get all riled up about what the doctor said and what's happening and all this. What did the doctor say? What did Dr. Jesus say? With long life shall he satisfy me. If I obey his word and keep all his commandments, I shall fulfill the number of my days. And Satan can just seek about whom he may destroy, but I ain't one of them whoons. Because I'm standing on the word. Not some crazy faith without corresponding actions, because faith without corresponding actions is dead been long. James is replete with several times where they say faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. That means if you believe in God to be healed all the days of your life, what's your part? What's your corresponding action? Your body is natural. It needs natural nutrients to stay alive or it will die. If you give it the wrong type of oil, it's going to do just like your car. If they tell you to put 10W-40 and you go put transmission fluid in there, guess what? Your car ain't going to last as long as manufacturer standard says it's going to last. We got mechanics in here. You ever have folks come in, you know they got the wrong stuff in their car? They done stuck windshield wiper over in the transmission hole and tell them the car won't run. Then pour brake fluid down in the engine, tell them the car won't run and the thing burn up or blow up or something like that. They put gasoline in the radiator, all kind of crazy mess. And ain't nobody surprised when the things stop early. But folks feel a need to create doctrine when somebody's body stopped early and they didn't eat right. They just only reap what we sow. If we sow into destruction, we'll reap destruction. We don't mean to do it. We do it ignorantly. But don't try and rewrite the Bible. Don't try and create doctrine. We missed it. Did the best we knew and we missed it. But the good thing is when we admit the ignorance, now we're in a position to receive the truth and say, well, God, what kind of fuel should I put in this high octane motor you call my human body? I've given you the herbs, the bare seed, and the fruit of the trees whose fruit bear seed. I've given that unto you for meat. He's allowed him to eat meat, but of the animal that hath the cloven hoof, eating out of that one or whatever it is, I may have it wrong. I hadn't read Leviticus in a while, but you could eat the cow, but you can't eat the horse. Why? Because they found out in science, and if we get a chance, I'll show you all these things. I want to do a lot on the natural aspect, which you probably hadn't heard before. But horse meat carries parasites. Pigs carry parasites. It's natural for pigs. If you want to get off pork, go somewhere, a funeral home or something, and tell them to give you about an ounce of embalming fluid. Go get any pork roast or pork steak or pork chop from the grocery store. Take it home and pour formaldehyde on it and see what crawls out of it. I don't care even if it's been in the refrigerator. Once you thaw it out, you pour formaldehyde on it and see what living crawls out of it. That's why God said don't eat pork. It carries pesticides, which brings disease. He didn't want you to stop from having the sweet meat of the pig. He wanted you to live long and prosper. He wanted you to be in health. He's not trying to stop you from what you may have learned during slavery or some other time. He's not trying to that. The traditions of men make of no effect the word of God. And when the holidays roll around, we got to get the holiday ham. Do you know why so many people suffer depression in January? Because what they eat in November, what they eat in November and December. All those rich snacks and all that sugar and all that food. The greatest time of suicide is during the holidays. Because people get depressed from the things they do. And God talked about eating certain things. Am I going to go all the way back to the Old Testament and say we should live by every Old Testament law? No. But I hope we get a chance to get to that scripture that people use the New Testament that they misinterpret, where they start to say things like, well, the Bible says that Peter looked up and had a vision. He said, Lord, I've eaten no unclean thing. Remember, we had a thing called context. Was he talking about eating, or was he talking about calling the Gentiles unclean when God has cleansed them because they got born again? Were they talking about food? Were they teaching eating methods? Are we out of context to take that and say, Lord, I need no unclean thing, and start talking about God said, what I've cleaned? He was not saying you can eat anything you want to eat. He did not say that. Go to Jerusalem now and check the people that are staying with it. There's some of the Messianic Jews, and see if they eat pork now. They still don't eat it. And they understood because they got the teaching from what people understood in that day. Peter didn't start eating pork. He understood what they were talking about. They were talking about the Gentiles because Peter was getting to it. It was Paul, and Paul was getting on Peter because Peter was talking about the Gentiles are still dirty. They need to get circumcised and all that. And God said, don't call that thing which I've called clean unclean. That's what was going on. Keep it in context. Keep it in context. There's nowhere where you're going to find the New Testament where God undid the eating laws of the Old Testament. You still should not be eating those animals, whatever they have, cloven or uncloven. You shouldn't be eating them. You shouldn't eat the fish out of the sea that does not have scales. Why? Because you'll find there's parasites in those types. I have scientific study that has finally caught up with what works and what doesn't work. Boy, God is smart, isn't he? It's amazing how he knew that. I had to find a doctor to not tell me. Because they don't know. They're still learning. God knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And all we got to do as Christians is follow the word and know, say, you don't have to be sick a day of your life. If you are sick, healing can manifest in your body. But you got to follow the word. And we're not even preaching the word concerning health. And the part we do preach about healing, most of us preach it backwards. God's teaching you a lesson. Lord won't put more on you than you can bear. A house divided against itself cannot stand. See, that same crazy stuff was preached when Jesus was healing folks. And they talk about, oh, no, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. He heals by Beelzebub. Jesus said, well, a house divided against itself can't stand. If I heal and cast out demons by Satan, then obviously the house of God is not going to stand if I'm healing by that, because it's contrary. He made it real clear to people who were saying that, and people still say it piously, religiously, and wrongly today. The same thing that Jesus already dealt with back then. He says, a house divided won't stand. If I'm casting out demons and sickness and healing people by the devil, then who do your prophets and priests heal them by? Either God is in the healing business or in the make them sick business. Satan came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When you die prematurely, he's stolen years from you. He's killed your body, and he may have destroyed and made things hard on families. Jesus doesn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. He came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Let's go back to Bible 101 again. Hadn't been there in a while. Satan, him bad. God, him good. How many people don't even know that? Hadn't even studied theology enough to know God, him do good things. Satan, him do bad stuff. James said in James 1, it says, the God is the Father of lights. And every good gift and every good act of giving cometh down from the Father lights above. And it says Satan is the destroyer. When you're destroying families and destroying marriages and destroying people's lives and destroying people's sales, dare not even stand up and say God had anything to do with the destruction of that. He had nothing to do with it, and you won't find no scripture. You just heard it and heard ministers say it a lot, so you believe it. Faith came by hearing. Faith for the wrong thing come by hearing. Give you an example of faith for the wrong thing. Is finger licking good? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Alka-Seltzer. See, you heard the commercials. Has anybody ever studied to make sure, just in case I got sick and got upset stomach, what to take? No, faith just came by hearing. You know, when your stomach is upset, you reach for the pink one. It's the only one that coats. Pepto-Bismol. Faith came by hearing. We could go way back. Tastes good like a cigarette should. What am I talking about? Camel cigarettes. Marlboro's the one for the cowboy. You know? Why do we know this useless, purposeless, antichrist, backwards information? Faith came by hearing. Faith came by hearing. When you're sick, what's the first thing you do? Go to the doctor. Is that scripture? Maybe you ought to pray first. It's amazing how doctors, people hadn't even learned. The woman went to issue of blood. Lo, all these years, 12 years sick with a flow of blood, an issue of blood. Had to go around unclean everywhere, but yet she broke the law at penalty of being stoned to death. And she pressed through the crowd and she said unto herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She pressed through and then she turned around and she was ashamed and Jesus said, who touched me? And then they said, Jesus, are you stupid? All these folks thronging you, everybody's touching you. No, somebody touched me. Somebody, everybody was wanting a part of him, but she got a part of him. Everybody didn't get healed who was touching him. Jesus said, I perceive the virtue has gone out of me because somebody put a draw of faith on me. Somebody touched me with the hand of faith. And Jesus, the lady came forward and told the story and she said, look, you know, I've been sick with issue of blood for 12 years. I've seen many doctors. I was rich, but now I'm poor and I'm sick. And Jesus said, look, thy faith have made thee whole. Jesus didn't say my power made you whole. Thy faith have made me whole. Thy faith have made you whole. Thy faith. All the other folks touching him who didn't get it, their faith didn't make them whole. Thy faith. They're telling me we're out of time, so we'll stop for tonight. We'll pick back up tomorrow. We're not nowhere near finished. We're just getting started. Don't miss tomorrow night. Get it all together. We're teaching line upon line, precept upon precept. Then you go study it out and meditate it next week, and you see what the Spirit is saying to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you, Lord, that as we begin to open our hearts and our ears to see what the Spirit of God would say, Father, break down the traditional beliefs. We just want to know what's true, God. We're not trying to prove nothing, not trying to preach anything new. We just want to know what's true, Father. Help us to articulate the Word of God. Help us to hear and receive the Word of God. Help us to know what truth is, Father, so we can walk in it, so that we can begin to manifest all those things you say would happen, that the righteous, you would take the diseases from the midst of them, that they would be healed all the days of their life. With long life, satisfies, that we'll get 70 and extra for good measure, that we live out the fullness of our days, Father. Let us be testimonies of your word and your healing power. In Jesus' name we pray.